Hello, hello. Hello, 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 hello. Okay. The first point there is this. We are individuals, okay, but we are one in the body of Christ. We are individuals, but we are one in the body of Christ. Okay? The Bible says here, for by one Holy Spirit, the word Spirit here, the Spirit above, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one. But the word baptized means to be immersed. Okay? Into one body, whether we be Jews or whether we be Gentiles. Now this is an interesting thing. By baptism, there's this thing called the Spirit baptism, alright? When we talk about that in Acts chapter 2. But here Paul uses it in another context, that when we are actually baptized in water, God actually mysteriously joins us as one in the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul talks about the mystery of the church. Does that make sense? So which means that when we are baptized, God actually joins us into that local body. And it's very telling because God says that if one part hurt, the rest hurt with it. You know, we did have a little bit of issue just now. But one of the things I saw, everyone was attacking Desmond. Okay, is your house ahead? Is it better? Yeah. Everyone was attacking Desmond at that time. Do you realize the whole body moved? Everyone moved. You know, for me, as I was looking at that, there was an attack at one point, but everyone was trying to accommodate to Desmond, and they were all moving backwards. Okay, and the weak link starts to break. Okay, and it's interesting because when we are one in the body of Christ, nothing happens at one point that doesn't affect another point. Okay, no, not just in the church, but in the family as well. But more so in the context here is the church. Okay, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, doesn't mean whether you be Filipinos or Singaporeans, whether you are Chinese speaking or English speaking, it doesn't matter. It will affect everyone. Okay, this is the first point that we must understand. Okay, by the Holy Spirit of God, we were immersed into one body, regardless of our backgrounds, and we have been made to participate in that oneness. All of us are church members, and we need to participate in that oneness. We are one. All right, we are individuals, but we are one. And when we recognize that we all have different positions, for me, I'm very clear. I'm a pastor, but I only have one position. That's my role. If I don't function in my role, something's going to happen. I make sure I'm faithful there all the time. You know what, even as church member, your goal is to find out where you fit in and then say, Lord, help me to be faithful in that. Because when that is there, the church can actually move forward. Alright? So, point number two, look at verse 14 to 17 and then 28 to 30. We are individuals, but we are interdependent for our growth, development and survival. Okay, we are individuals, but we are interdependent for our growth, development and survival. Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Agree? I'm one, but I've got eyes. Like just now Joshua asked, do you have eyes? Okay? We're different members, but we are one body, okay? If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? You know what he says? You know, as individuals, we can actually say that to another person. The body that God made cannot say that to one another. The eyes cannot say to the brain, I don't need you. You know what the brain is saying? Go ahead lah. Because all the visual impulses that goes into the brain is processed by the visual cortex here. Without the visual cortex, do you realize even you may have this one, but you don't have the right brain, you won't be able to appreciate. Do you realize the visual cortex are three layers? One is what we call we actually see physically the thing. Then another layer in the brain actually explains what you see. And then another layer actually appreciates what you see. That's why some people cannot appreciate art one. You know, like for some people who are very artistic, you know, you can have one line across the wall and these artistic people can say, what a beautiful picture. Then for us, you say, only one line, what do you mean? You know? So our brain appreciates differently, but that's different parts of the body. But here, Paul says, Just because we think we are not of the body, are you therefore not of the body? You know, Paul is telling the Corinthian church, you can say all you want, if God has baptized you in the body, you belong to that body. Okay? But the moment the body actually says, look at verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the ear, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know what Paul says? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Can you imagine one big, that everyone wants to be the eye, or everyone wants to be the pastor, everyone wants to be whatever. Here, if you think about it, if the whole body were an eye, can you imagine one big giant eye standing in front of you preaching? He cannot preach. You know why? There's no mouth. But he says, one giant eye sitting in front of you. What will it become? What would the church become if it's just one eye? It become a monster. Alright? That's what God actually said. We are interdependent for our growth, development, and survival. Look at verse 28 and 30. And God has set some in the church. Okay, now, with that, now God actually talks about the different people in the church and the different gifts. And God has set some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. Verse 20, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. You know what the Bible says? Do all speak with tongues? No. But what does the Pentecostal Charismatic Church say? All must speak in tongues. God says, do all speak with tongues? No. No, 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 no. That's not what the Bible teach. But the purpose of this particular passage is to tell us we need one another. We are interdependent. The church cannot function if one person chooses not to function. Okay? Now, in verse 18, point A under point number 2, verse 18, we are all placed in our position by God. Look at verse 18. Now God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased Him. This is very important. Some of you with the gift of prophecy, and you may take up positions of teaching, whatever, God put you there. Some of you may have the gift of administration or organization. If that's your gift, and you're able to organize for the church, God is the one who set you in that position. If you're a server, or you have a serving gift, and you're doing all the work and serving, God put you there. I want you to think about that. God says, it is God that has appointed that part in that position. Okay? That's what He says here. But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Remember, whenever you read the Bible, and you look at the word please God, it means God wanted that in His will. For the pleasure of God doesn't mean God enjoys that. It means that it is for God's will, that God actually put us where we are supposed to be. Alright? So that's number one. Number two, verse 15 and 16. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? Because if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? When we think we are not needed, the church becomes paralyzed. Can I say that again? When we think we're not needed, the church actually becomes paralyzed. And that's very unfortunate because some Christians do think that. But the Bible tells us that if this church is just one eye, we can't function. We become actually paralyzed. The situation, the VBS, thank God everyone was there doing what they were supposed to do. And that's why the VBS could go forward. But what if one person said, I'm not going to get involved, you know? You know, people took leave to be there, to serve, so that different parts will actually be moving forwards. Okay? So, we're small as a church in ambassador, but we thank God, God has endowed us with good gifts. We need to actually harness that. Point C, under point number 2, point C, look at verse 17 and 19. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 19. And if they were all one member, then where were the body? When we want to take another's place, other than what the Lord made us for us, personality and all, we become a monster. An eye can never become a mouth. A nose can never become a hand. Because God made eyes with certain characteristics. God made the hand with certain characteristics. And if you put the two together, you can recognize that they are both absolutely different. How many of you have heard of people who say, I wish I could actually be in that position, or I wish I could actually do that more? When God set us in a particular place and we choose somewhere else, we actually become a monster. Because God didn't make, you know, when God put us in a personnel, God made us in a particular position, He gave us a gifting, okay? And in that spiritual gifting, you have the characteristic and the Christian personality to fulfill that, that someone else doesn't have. Okay? My wife is absolutely in touch with a lot of minute details because as a gift of a server, she can think 10 steps ahead when it comes to the practical stuff. Okay? But when it comes to spiritual stuff, I can think 10 steps ahead too. Alright? Differently. We're all different. Okay? Alright? We're all different. Okay? Some people who are merciful may be able to understand or be sympathetic or sensitive to someone's problems that maybe as a prophet, I can't. I will just be very directive with that person. Alright, whereas a person with mercy will come and say, hey, Pastor, you need to consider this other place. Okay? We cannot take another person's place. Can I say that again? That's why I believe very firmly, if one brick is not there, one member is not there, and people who choose to walk away, you know what's happened? It hurts the church. Can you imagine, Sarah, can you imagine your eye decide to walk away from your body? Huh? Or Wei Tong, your finger decide to walk away. How come you cannot eat? Your mouth walk away, you cannot eat? Your eye, is it? What did I say? Your eye or hand? Your finger. Cannot dig his nose. Okay. Okay. Recognize this. When God puts us in a particular position, God doesn't just give you a gifting, He also gives you that personality for that particular posture. Alright? Point D under point number 2, verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. We need to realize that we, though individuals, are important for the survival of the body, development and growth of the body. We must realize that. We cannot say we don't need one another. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul tells the Corinthian church. You think you guys can function independently? Paul says no. God says no. Just as your eye, cannot function without a hand, you know how it works? Your eye sees this sweet. Okay? The eye sees, your brain thinks, one. Your brain sends a message to the hand, reach out. Then after you reach out already, you know it's still not done. Your fingers have to come together. Then after that, the other hand must come and then he has to open up. And then the mouth say, I don't need you, hand. And then the hand will say, after that, mouth say, hand, I don't need you. You sure? Okay, Lord, I don't give you. It doesn't happen in the body. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is using the illustration of the human body to illustrate the body of Christ. And so I'm a firm believer in the local church. Does it make sense? And God says a church member cannot say, I don't need another person. You know how humbling that is? Now, no matter how rich you are, how gifted you are, God says, I do not want my church people in the church that I put in to ever have the attitude that you don't need one another. You know why? Because God gives us a different personality from the world. We have to be interdependent for our personal growth. That's why Christians who do not want to join the church, Christians who do not want to take the step of commitment to Christ, are outside of God's will, because God said, I do not want you to be without a church body so that the body can, you know, you can contribute to the church can contribute to you too. Did you know that? Did you know that each church member have other resources that can contribute to me and I can contribute to you? and we grow together. You know, it's very stifling. I think after a while, even the VBS, we were discussing, Brother Chai Hing is doing a good job, right? But you know, year after year, the pictures are almost the same. After a while, people don't know. You know, but if there's a team of people, and we can contribute to it, different people doing different things, different people have different ideas, we actually make the t-shirt nicer or more vibrant. Okay, like the VBS needs to change. You know, we've been doing almost the same thing for the last 10 years. And after the working hour, the same thing again. You know, our next VBS should be different. Today, this year, we try a little bit different, but you know what? Things have to be different. Okay? Alright? So, God says this very clearly. I just want to read from the Bible. God says, I cannot say. That is an absolute negative. That I cannot absolutely say that I don't need someone else. I cannot say I don't need the church members. I can be wrong. You're not doing anything. I don't need you. Then I'll say, okay, well, Pastor, you don't need us. Okay, well, we just sit down. You know what we'll do? That cannot happen. Similarly, on the other way. Pastor, we don't need you. You know what? I hope we understand this vital truth in the Bible. We need one another in the church to survive. That's what God says, okay? Look at point number 3. We are individuals serving in different places. Oh, this is encouraging. But God places equal honor on all. No position in the church is higher than the other. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, for our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Some people say, I'm just doing all the little things behind the scenes. And so I'm not so popular, and so I don't have enough honor. Right? Some people will do that. In verse 24, look at those. Look at the Bible. The Bible says, verse 24a, for our comely parts have no need. You know what the comely parts? What do you mean by comely? Comely means the beautiful parts. You know what the comely parts of your body? What are the comely parts of your body? Your face. Okay, what else? Huh? Your nose, your okay, so your hands. What you call the outward parts of your body? They just show themselves. Okay? What are the uncomely parts of your body? Sorry? Your eardrums, okay? Your heart? Your liver? Okay? The uncomely parts inside. You know how God gives equal honor to the outward parts? No, the outward parts, God made it nice. Of course, some people may need to do different things to it. Like some people may be born with maybe a cleft palate, for example. Okay? They may need to do some surgery to close up so that they look nice. Okay? As a therapist, one of the things we learn is that the face is a very important part of a person. Okay? Have you seen, I think I've seen a guy in India, two young children in India, that they grow a lot of facial hair. Like they actually look, one in Thai, they actually look like, I don't know what, orangutans, monkeys, yeah, okay, and they have to do certain things, and every time they have to shave, and then it just keep growing, alright? But you know what, God has given us all nice faces, amen? None of us have faces that no one would not want to look at. I'm sure you've seen some people with faces that children will stare. Yeah, and maybe one part of the face will droop. But you know what, our faces, God temper it, so we don't need anything. You know how God tempered the uncomely parts with honor too? Any idea? Okay, in verse 24, I just highlight that those in public ministry is honored. Like for myself, people can see, oh yeah, this so and so, those people who lead songs are those. But you know what? Those people who serve behind the scenes and do all the quiet things, not many people know who they are. Okay, those people who do the bulletin on a regular basis, those people who clean up on a regular basis, we don't know who they are. Do you realize? It's not important that man honors man. Realize it's more important that God honors man. Okay? So those in public ministry, if I'm proud and say, well, I'm a pastor and therefore I'm very proud, people will clap. You know what God says? Because you have received honor from man, you don't need any honor from me. But if I choose to be humble and all the ministry leaders choose to be humble, God says, I'll honor you because you choose not to have honor from man. But you know, at the same time, those in the back doing all the private, quiet things behind the scene. They may think, oh, I'm always doing all these things. See, I have to make sure the wires are properly. Make sure. No one cares about me. What God says, you want people to care about me? Oh, I'll let the people honor you. But you'll receive no honor from me. Okay? Now, how does God share this honor? Look at verse 22, 23. Sorry, look at verse 26. 26. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, how does, I'll just read this, okay? If the public minister is sick, does not do his job well, who suffers? If a Sunday school teacher is sick or doesn't do his job well, who suffers? The people under him, right? Everyone suffers. Okay? But if the public minister is on fire and is diligent, who rejoices? Everyone. Okay? If the private servant is sick or does not do his job well, who suffers? If all those people who behind the scenes don't come early and set up the tent and on the aircon and all that, and the chairs are all in a mess when people come to church, or for buffet, those people are supposed to prepare the food, okay? If people don't order the food on time or anyhow order and come late, who suffers? Oh, we can point fingers, but the entire church suffers. Right? We are delayed, we get angry. Does it make sense? But if those people behind the scenes do their job well, who rejoices? Everyone rejoices. We need to understand this very much, because some people say, oh, I'm just doing all the things quietly behind the back. My gift is just serving, or my gift is just giving, or my gift is just organization. No one recognizes me anyway, so why should I be there? Just try not to be there. Everything suffers. That's what God is trying to point out to the Corinthian church. You know what the Corinthian church problem is? They didn't love one another enough. They thought about themselves. They were selfish people. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul had to tell them a more excellent way. Paul says, it's not important that you have spiritual gifts, but you need to have a proper motivation for your service. Okay? So, when we are individuals serving in different places, but God places equal honor on all. Point number 4, we need to recognize God's wisdom in placing us as individuals where we are. Sometimes we think that God doesn't know what He's doing. God knows. You are supposed to have a gift of prophecy, you do that. You're supposed to give your administration, you do that. You know what? As Christians, we need to be contented where God places us. Because without us, that is a gaping hole in the church. Alright, look at verse 25. Why does God do that? Number one, to avoid schism. The Bible says that there should be no schism. Look at verse 24 first. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body. The word tempered means God has fashioned, God has put together properly. He has actually positioned or arranged the person in that position so that no one can say, I don't need one another. For two purposes. Number one, so that there will be no schism in the body. Okay? To avoid schism, division can be avoided and prevented in the body of Christ. Did you know that? We can actually prevent schism and division in the church. How? Just by realizing, if God put me there, it is God's wisdom, I accept that. You know what that goes against? The dominant personality. I don't care, I want to do the other one, okay? Or I'm impatient with whoever, or someone with another personality will have different things and he will try to impose what he thinks on that. No, you're just contented where God put us. There will be no schism, number one. Number two, look at verse 25 again. There should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Number two, to provide care for each other. God put all of us. A prophet provides spiritual care in terms of giving the word. The giver provides spiritual care for the prophet by making sure the needs are met. Does that make sense? The organizer in the church ensures that everything is going well so that everyone will be blessed. The one who has mercy is there to comfort someone who is down. Using our spiritual gifts so that we have the same care. Different types of care, but it's still the care. You know, if the church is not organized, we're in a mess. Basically, if there's no prophet preaching, there'll be no word. If no teacher teaching, there'll be no teaching in the church. You know what? Different people have different levels of care. Listen carefully to this. We are not to have personal expectations of each other, but we can have biblical expectations of each other. And even though we have biblical expectations of each other, we are not to enforce that, because God says we need to bear our own burdens. Okay, we need to esteem the other person better than ourselves. Tomorrow we have a list of 26 characteristics that we need to have in the church, okay? But point number 5. As we look at this whole thing, I'll just recap the 4 points. We are individuals, but we are one in Christ. We are individuals, but we are interdependent. We are individuals serving in different places, but God places equal honor on all. We need to recognize God's wisdom in placing us as individuals. And finally, we need to lay as a foundation of our ministry the principle of love. The principle of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You may want the best gifts, but I'm going to show you something that is more important than all of this. And what is that? Paul goes on to 1 Corinthians 13, the principle of love. Okay? We'll just read through quickly. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. If I do my ministry without love, I'm just a gang, empty vessel. Talk a lot, but nothing inside. Okay? We can do as best the service we can, but if we are not motivated by love, if we serve without love, if we administer without love, if we show mercy, you cannot show mercy without love. Okay? If you organize without love, if you teach without love, if you preach without love, if you give without love, Paul says you are big zero. We are big zeros if we don't have love in our hearts. That was a problem with the Corinthian church. And can I say this? Because of our personality. Remember, our old personality is governed by the selfish nature. And so if we use our personality to serve God, you know what will happen? We will be big zeros in front of God. Because it's not God's way. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, by love serve one another. By love serve one another. Even as I preach, I need to preach with love. Another person with a gift of teaching, he needs to teach with love. A person who organizes, he needs to organize because he loves everyone in the church. A person who gives, it's because he loves to give and he loves the person. A person who exalts must be exalting a person with love, unconditional love. Does it make sense? And it is so important. Yes, we need to have love among us, but you know what? We need to exercise the spiritual gifts that God's given us. Any questions as we close? No, can I just say this? The church is important to God. So important that Jesus Christ died for it. And when God empowered the church, next chapter 2, the empowerment wasn't for fun. There was a job to be done in this world. And I believe that God will help ambassador to grow. But you know, one of my heart cry I shared with some of the members early in January, I wish the entire church was here. That was my heart. But you know what? Regardless, people are here, we just preach. Whether it's 1 or 200, we'll still preach. But I wish the entire church were here. And I hope they will follow the messages. Because you know what? If everyone in the church know their place, God can help us move very quickly. You need some. If you look at some of the... I'll close with this illustration. In many of the army units, one of the things they do is to train the person very well in his role. So that when war actually comes, at the touch of a button, everyone knows their place. It is absolutely fruitless to start teaching everyone how to fight when you're in the battlefront. You know, it's times like this where we gather and we learn, okay, this is my role and this is what God wants me to do, and I'm willing to commit myself to that. You know what? The church will be strong. It will be. And we use the skills that God has given to us, so as a church will be strong. You know, at least we highlighted some organizers here, so I know how to tai chi things over. And people who are able to teach, and I believe the people with the gift of teaching ought to be involved in the teaching ministry. people who will give the exhortation ought to be in the counseling ministry. Where I talk, people who should be ready to even at the invitation, be ready to open their eyes and see, okay, who are the people whom I need to reach out to at this point of time. And I believe very much on the spiritual gift. I believe a very important way of differentiating with whether it's my personality or my spiritual gift is determined by the outcome. When I exercise and when I do something, does that individual draw closer to Christ? Is that person encouraged to do something more for Jesus? Or I have given him something that he would think about God? That would be a spiritual gift. But if we use our personality, there will be no fruit. Does that make sense? And I believe that is a very telling point, because spiritual gifts are divine, God-given bestowment. These are things that God gives so that the outcome in 1 Corinthians 12:7 to profit withal for the growing up of the body of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 as we close. Ephesians 4. Verse 11. Okay, these are the gifts to the church. Alright, people gifts to the church. And he gives some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can you see how the pastor or the evangelist can be a gift to the church, and the outcome is souls getting saved, people added to the church, church moving forward, growing? Alright, I am but an instrument. God can remove me at any time. I'm very conscious of that. But you know, I want to challenge us, the outcome of your personal ministry is that there are spiritual fruit. That one day you can walk in the shores of heaven, or the streets of heaven, and you get so-and-so was there because I exercised my spiritual gift to help him to Christ. Okay? We can share a lot, we can kind of be cool with people, but if, you know, a lot of people have mistaken being cool and say, I can merge with these people, you know, I can do a lot of things, I care for these people, but if they do nothing to bring it to Christ, it's not a spiritual gift. Why? Because God says that I give you the spiritual gift to profit withal. Okay, if you look further down, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, so that all of us will come to a consensus that this is what Jesus wants us to do, and therefore we'll do it. Alright, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly of man and cunning craftiness. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may what grow up into him in all things, which the head, even Christ. Verse 16 is a very important verse on the church. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul talks about every joint. Okay, I hope the joints of Brother Desmond is okay. No? But you know, his joints actually move. You can feel it. Do you realize that muscles have to move in what we call synergy with one another? Because when we move our hands up, there's this big muscle called the pec muscle. Just imagine, alright? The muscle pulls. Can you see that? The muscle pulls, the hand moves. And if I want to eat, the muscle has to pull here. This hand also has to bend. My hand has to hold the spoon. My mouth has to open. The Bible talks about the effectual working of every part so that ultimately the body gets the benefit. Just eating a sweet requires a combination of all the joints working effectively. Jeremiah had some pain in his calf. I think it was a real accident today. You know, after that, he's walking. It's a bit problematic. Brother Mike also had. I think he had a previous, but now he has some muscle aching and all that kind of thing. And you find that he's very quiet. Not because he's quiet. Generally, he's quiet, but he's quieter. You know? But I think it's, You know, when you have pain, you don't want to talk much, right? When you have pain, you don't want to talk much. Why? Because it's painful. You know, when I had that little thing here, and when after the doctor did the thing, it's like, you know, and Joy will pull the chair to me, and then Joy will pull my leg out. I say, don't pull, because the more you pull, the more painful. But you know, they all want to help. But you know why? Just because of one small thing, the entire body is affected. Can I say this, church members? Don't ever think you're not important. God says you are. And I think you are because God says you are. And you are. You know, as individuals, you're precious to God. But God wants us to extend beyond ourselves. Because when you extend beyond yourself, you are using what God has given you to benefit people. When the people are benefited, guess who grow? The church grow, and you grow too. Because you get new experiences, you grow as a person too. Does it make sense? Many members, one body. Remember this for the rest of your life. Wherever God may take you next time, in church membership or whatever, now you're in this church, let's use our giftings for God. Alright? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And we thank you that we are able to just go through this passage in 1 Corinthians 12. Lord, we know that without you, we can do nothing. And Father, as your servant, Lord, thank you for the many servants we have in our church. Thank you for the people who have contributed without complaining, Lord, to your service. I know, Lord, there are many things we can do better. But God, we need your help. We recognize, Father, that it is your wisdom that you have put us in ambassador. Oh, I wish many more people would come. But yet, at the same time, I pray that I, Holy Spirit, Lord, would use this message, these teachings about our personality, who we are, the corruption, how Jesus Christ came to save us and then to change us. And then, God, how you have tempered us together with different gifts in the church so that we can be fully functional for you. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I just want to ask this question. Has the Lord spoken to you about your part in the church? And perhaps over the last few days, I know I've not given much invitation, but based on what God has said today, perhaps God has spoken to you in some way, and you say, perhaps it's because of personality, and say, you may say this. The first question I ask is your personality hindering your spiritual development? Are you allowing yourself, the old self, the old nature? I may be a dominant person, I may be an influencer, I may be a steady person, I may be a conscientious person. But all I do don't seem to have spiritual fruit. You know why? Because it has not come under the dominion of Christ. You are not exercising the spiritual gifts in the new nature for God. You know, that's why we need to surrender our thinking to God. And you're saying, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me in some area. I ask, can you just pray for me that God help me to sort out my thinking in this area that I will be able to serve Him more effectively within the local church? Is there anyone like that that God has spoken to? Yeah, amen. I see that hand. Anyone else? Christians praying? And be very clear of your role. Is there anyone else? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. I say, I understand a little bit more. Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. Just put it up and put it down. I'll pray for you. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. Anyone else? Something important to you, that God recognizes you as an individual personality, but God wants you to move forward. Amen. I see that hand too. Anyone else? If you're here today, and you have never trusted Christ as a personal Savior, and perhaps you say, all these things is just your church thing, I don't understand. But you know, God wants us to change. And the saddest thing is that you hear the gospel and you don't trust Christ. Can I ask you, is your life changed? Or are you the same person today as you were yesterday, 1 year ago, 2 years ago? Jesus wants us to change. And you say, Brother Johnny, I'm not too sure. If I die right now, I don't know whether I'm going to heaven. You know, can I urge you to settle this? Is there anyone like that who says, Brother Johnny, I know Jesus loves me, but I'm not too sure whether I want to accept Him. Can you just pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Now let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to have this time Thank you for the many hands that have gone up. People who have acknowledged that they want, Lord, you to use them in a far more personal way. A way, Lord, that they will realize they are interdependent upon each other. Yes, Lord, we are of different personalities, different individualities. But yet, Lord, you put us together for a purpose. And our goal is to exercise the gift you've given to us so that we can move forward. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in Ambassador Baptist Church. Lord, I pray for those members who are not here. I pray they will catch up with the messages, Lord, that they may be able to understand, Lord, the gift that they have, and they'll be able to exercise it within the church. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do now, even as we just take a break and go for our devotions. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray for those who, we pray for the children. We pray also for the children to have a good time, Lord, a good rest tonight. And Lord, it's already, tomorrow is the last day. We thank you for the protection these few days. Help us, Father, to look to you for grace. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now it's 9:15, all right?